It's always interesting when I don't know what I'm preaching about on Sunday morning, on Saturday night. It actually happens to me, well, not often because we've been going through the scripture, but whenever I feel like the Lord wants me to take a break from that, which is what we're doing this morning, actually until the second week in January, we will be returning to Matthew at that time, but for today and then the 2 weeks following, we're going to be looking at some other things. And I wasn't entirely sure what I was supposed to speak about this morning. I knew it had something to do with Christmas. I don't always observe the days as far as what I preach about, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to this year. And I had some ideas, and I went for a walk last night and just thought over some things, prayed over some things. Got up this morning, still wasn't sure, sat down at my computer to start typing, and then I thought, you know, I need to pray again. And I stopped and I prayed. And then the Lord actually spoke to me. He brought to my mind something that I had seen last night. Now, I will say that not very many, or perhaps none, of my sermons up to this point have originated with Facebook. Facebook has not been a source of very much that has been good in my life. But God can use anything. God can speak through anything. I want to share this video with you, and I want to explain, first of all, that this is not Christian. And the folks that you're going to see here are not, they're not coming together around biblical or scriptural ideas. But I believe that what is being expressed here is a deeply human desire. And it's a good desire. It's a desire for something that God wants us to have. They don't know how to get it. We actually do. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. It's the desire for peace. And so I'm going to pause the recording when we start to watch it, because it's not going to come through on the recording. So I'll just explain. What you'll see on the video is 3,000 people that gathered in Haifa in Israel, of various nationalities, to sing a song that was written about peace on earth in three different languages, in English, in Hebrew, and in Arabic. Because, of course, that is a part of the world where Jews and Arabs are constantly at odds, and quite frequently violent odds between themselves. And so somebody thought it'd be a good idea to get together people from those nationalities to sing about peace in their languages together. I thought it was pretty beautiful in its own way. So I want to share that with you before we go on. As I was watching that video last night, I was thinking about the time that is going to come one day when the Messiah comes back. And you are going to have Jews and Arabs and all the other people that have historically been at odds between themselves. There is actually going to be a time when there's peace. And the amazing thing is that even though you can see it on their faces in that video, how much people long for this, how exciting it is to them to think of a time in which there is no more violence, in which there's no more war, in which there's unity and safety, and people don't have to worry about their children being killed by bombs, as is a reality in so many parts of the world. You can see that they want it. And given that it is such a universal desire, the question becomes, why don't we have it? What is keeping this from happening? There are very few people in this world that just get up in the morning and say, wow, I would really like to instigate some war and violence today. I'd really like to blow something. There's a few, but vast majority of people want to live their lives in peace and security. And if we all have this common desire, why doesn't that happen? What is it? You know, that we're in the season of Christmas. Peace on earth. There have been times in the history of the world, there was one famous one during World War I, when there was a spontaneous truce that broke out between the soldiers who were fighting around Christmas time. They just stopped. They wouldn't fight for a while. But that's a blip. It's very, very rare to see that kind of thing happen. Because as much as we want peace, we cannot achieve it. And so I want to look this morning at this whole prophetic concept of peace on earth, that which human beings long for. We want peace in the world. We want peace within ourselves. How do we get it? What is it, first of all? The Hebrew word is shalom. I was interested in Words with Friends, by the way, to find out that's also considered an English word. I got to put it the other day. And it carries the idea of safety, security, being protected. The Greek word that you find in the New Testament used most often is eirene, and that implies unity. So we want security, we want unity in our world. And there have been many, many, many people and organizations that have tried to bring these things about. All the way from Pax Romana to the United Nations, every one of them has failed. Every one of them has broken down. You look at the European Union, which came into existence to great fanfare in the late 90s, and all the conflict in Europe is supposedly over now because it's going to be one nation. Well, now it's falling apart. Over and over and over again, we see that humans are not capable of achieving this, that we need something supernatural to come and save us, as it were, from ourselves. And that has been promised. God, through his prophets in the Old Testament, prophesied of a coming age of peace. And I wrote down the wrong reference here, so this is going to take me a minute to find. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm in the wrong book, that's why. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so in Isaiah. Isaiah is just about tied with Jeremiah for the most references to peace. I think Jeremiah's got like two more because he has a lot of verses where it's used multiple times, and we're going to look at one of them later. But Jeremiah mostly, unfortunately, had to use it in a negative context, saying there's going to be no peace because you're rebellious against God and you're idolatrous. Isaiah actually is the one who prophesied most often of the coming age of peace that would be under the Messiah. Starting in chapter 9 with verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And again in chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." So Isaiah prophesied that when the Messiah would come, there would be an age of peace, that those creatures most at odds with each other, with this relationship of utter fear and terror, a child and a venomous snake, can we even imagine those things coexisting peacefully? One has, or ought to have, tremendous fear for the other. And the same being true, of course, of the wolf and the lamb. These are inimical creatures. One means death to the other. And yet, Isaiah prophesied, there will come a time when there will be nothing that hurts or destroys. In all the earth, there will be peace. So God's people were waiting for this promised Messiah that was going to bring this age of peace for hundreds and hundreds of years. And finally comes this announcement. Luke chapter 2, the birth of Christ, beginning in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it finally happened. Messiah finally came. Angels announced peace on earth. But this did not finish the process. This only started it. Because while even today we sing at this season about peace on earth, all you have to do is turn on your television or open a newspaper to discover that there is not, in fact, peace on earth. That there is war and violence and conflict and hatred and malice and every other form of evil rampant in our world. So what are we to conclude? Messiah did not fail. The work is still being done. It didn't happen right away. It's happening now. Because what did men do with the one who was called the Prince of Peace? They violently murdered him. Clearly, the human condition is a lot worse than we would like to think. I think those folks in Haifa that are singing about one day this is going to happen, they have this idea that somehow, at some point, people are going to change on their own. And they're just going to wake up and discover, hey, we don't want to fight and kill each other anymore. Let's just stop. That's not going to happen. Because a human problem is far more fundamental than that. We would like to think that the baby Jesus in the manger can save the world. That cannot happen. That is how the world would like it to happen, because they would like to be left to pursue their own ways and to do their own will, and at the same time have the fruits of peace in their lives, have peace with their neighbors. That cannot happen. To promote the idea that it can is actually to promote a false idea of peace, and this is exactly what you see on every hand. When the world talks about peace, they're talking about a superficial thing, and they act as though we're going to do just try the same thing again, but we're going to get a different result. We're going to have another conference. We're going to have another book. We're going to write another book. We're going to just educate people out of their ignorance and stupidity, and they're suddenly going to have peace. And that's, it's a lie. It's a sham. Leaders are especially bad about pawning this idea off on people of this false peace. And I might add, even those claiming the name of Christ promote this idea that, oh, well, we'll just be loving. We'll just love everyone. And we won't talk about whether, we won't talk about sin. We won't talk about man's need to keep God's commandments, his need for salvation. We're just going to love everyone. Jeremiah talked about these false prophets in chapter 6, beginning in verse 13. "Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." So when the world talks about peace, they're talking about something different than what we're talking about.